See his holy fear in your heart. Bring you to repentance tonight. 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, so what? Have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Don't wait. What would you do if God or if Jesus came back and you say, but God, I was going to come. I was going to come up. And it would be too late. Think about that, y'all. Don't wait. Don't wait. Just come up. It's not worth it.
God has prepared a place. It was prepared originally for the devil and his angels. And it is a place prepared by God where the damned of all ages will suffer the full indignation, the wrath, the anger, the torment, the pain, all that a creator God can imagine in his fine infinite mind. God has created a hell of torment, indignation for his wrath. And boy, when I begin to see this, it's changed my whole concept of hell. It's changed the way I preach it. You say, how could a loving Jesus create a hell so horrible it's beyond imagination, where his full wrath for eternity is going to be spent on the ungodly and the sinful? Jesus warned about this over and over again. Jesus preached hell more than any Pentecostal Baptist preacher on the face of the earth. He preached it to his friends. Now I'm going to take you to the scriptures. Don't turn, just follow me. I'm going to take you to Luke 12:5. Listen to what Jesus said to his friends. He's not talking to prostitutes and alcoholics now. He's talking to his disciples. Listen to what he said. And I say unto you, my friends, do not be afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more power in what they can do. But I'll tell you who you shall fear. Fear him which after he's killed the body has power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Who said that? Jesus said that. Folks, if Jesus said it, I have a right to preach it. Every preacher in America should be preaching, because Jesus preached it. He preached it to his friends. He preached it to those who were saved. He said, I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him who after you're dead, he can cast you into a hell. Fear him. Jesus was first to warn of hellfire. He said in Matthew 5:22, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Jesus called it a danger. Be in danger. Be warned. Jesus taught it's better to cut off your right arm or you cut out your right eye than to be cast into godless hell. He said, if your eye offends you, cut it out.
Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revellings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19, 21. But the fearful, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:8.
Very important question for you. What do you think is going to happen if in the next few moments you take your very last breath and your heart stops beating? Whether you believe the Bible or not, the Word says that tomorrow's promised to none of us. Real life experience tells you that that's true. People die every day unexpectedly. You don't know if you're even going to be here tomorrow. So that's not an unrealistic question. What do you think happens when you take your last breath and this life as you know it is all over? You know, there are two things that a person with common sense, who's being honest and truthful, can't dispute. The first is that you will die. Death is part of this human experience. One day, one moment, sooner than any of us think, you will die. The other fact is that you sin. Whether you believe the Bible or not, that you've inherited sin from the first man, Adam, forget that for a second. Just in the time you've been alive, probably in the last 24 hours, you've sinned. Have you ever told a lie? If you have, you've sinned. So we take these two indisputable facts. One, that each of us will die one day. And two, that we sin. And I submit to you that at the moment you die, you will stand before God, the God that created you in His own image, the God that loves you so much. And at that moment, it is your sin that will separate you from that holy, loving God. Now, I realize some people don't believe that. They believe they just die. And that's it. They just go into the ground. The fact is, you're banking your eternal soul on whether you're right or not. I submit to you that when you die and stand before God, and God judges you for your sin, you will be cast into everlasting darkness. Sent to a place called hell, created for Satan and his fallen angels, not for man. It's not that God doesn't love you, but it's your sin that separates you from God. But I have some good news for you. The Bible says that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. What that simply means is this: God loved you enough that He made a way for your sins to be forgiven, washed away, so that at that moment you take your last breath and you are standing before God your Creator, it's not God casting you away for all eternity into a place called hell, but it's God ushering you into His holy presence for all eternity in a place known as heaven. That option is available to every person who lives. It's a choice. Many people say, how could God send somebody to hell? The reality is, God sends nobody to hell. Each person makes that choice for themselves, where they will spend eternity. You have that choice right now. You can either choose to reject God's free gift of everlasting life, or you can choose to accept that gift. To accept that gift means that you have admitted that you're a sinner. And as a sinner, you need your sins forgiven. You need a Savior. God sent a Savior to this world. His name was Jesus. He came to this earth, lived a sinless life, so that He could complete His mission, which was to go to that cross 2,000 years ago. Die as the one-time perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. That's why there's only one name by which men are saved. That name is Jesus. That's why Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. They didn't die for your sins. It was Jesus who willingly went to that cross, shed His precious blood, and died as that one-time perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, including me ask you a question. As you watch this right now, do you know without any doubt, do you have the assurance right now that if you took your last breath, your heart stopped beating, and you passed from this life into eternity, that you would be with God, your Creator, the one that loves you so much, for all eternity, with Him in heaven? Do you have that assurance? If you don't, you can. Or if you've never made the choice to accept Christ as your personal Savior, you have that opportunity right now. If you are at a place in your life where you're tired of the way your life is going, if you're at a place in your life right now where you want to know that there's more to this life than just what you see, but there's real joy and there's real peace and there's a real abundance to this life, if you would like to know that, you can make the decision right now, this very moment, to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life by faith. And in so doing, not only have the assurance of everlasting life when this journey is over, but know that peace and joy and abundance now throughout the rest of your life. If you'd like to make that commitment tonight, if you'd like to make that decision tonight, all you have to do is pray with me. There's nothing magical about these words. They're simply a guide for your faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that we're saved by the grace of God, His unmerited favor, and we're saved by our faith. That's it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing to be added to the salvation formula. It's God's grace. It's your faith, creating that supernatural act of salvation. If you'd like to make that commitment, you can do so right now by simply praying along with me. If you're ready, please pray with me and mean it in your heart, and the Bible says you'll be saved. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my life to you. Use me for your glory. From this day forward, my life is yours and I will follow you. In Jesus' name I pray.